We have been talking about the theme, Lord, teach us to love. And out of 1 Corinthians 13, what we called the love song in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, we have been looking at love is patient and love is kind. Those are very positive attributes. But now come the negative attributes that we don't want. In other words, the nature of love is described in a positive way and also what it is not. What is love and what it is not. And it talks about love does not envy, love does not boast, and love is not proud. We want to look at these three this morning. Envy, boasting, and pride are actually an invasion in a person's life through bad attitudes that always destroy pure love every time they are let in. Envy is about desiring something that someone else has, or resenting another person for what they have or what they are. In the Old Testament, envy meant to covet. And coveting or covetousness is considered a direct pathway to sinning. In the book of Ecclesiastes, the teacher records this observation. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 4. Listen carefully as he emphasizes and uses the word all. I saw that all labor and all achievement spring from man's envy of his neighbor, and this too is meaningless and a chasing after wind. Have you ever thought about what this phrase means? Chasing after wind? Can you do that? Can we chase after wind, and what purpose is it? That's how the teacher describes envying our neighbor. The word all is used twice. And this gives us reason to pause and think. In Proverbs 14, verse 30, we read, a heart at peace gives life to the body. A heart at peace. I want you to remember this. Peace that surpasses all human understanding. If we are filled with that peace, we will have a good life. We will enjoy life. We will enjoy God. But then it says, envy rots the bones. Now, I don't know if we can actually say that. There's a saying that osteoporosis is rotting of the bones, that's caused by envy. I think sometimes it just naturally happens. But I think it's a very clear message here in Proverbs that envy is not good for our health. Envy destroys relationships, destroys our own health. We read there that Paul says to the Romans, let no debt remain outstanding except continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man, fellow woman, has fulfilled the law. The commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, we know those commandments. One of those commandments is do not covet, which means don't be envious of others. I don't know if you have ever seen this film. It's simply called Envy. It's interesting to watch. Of course, this is very dramatized, and how these two men were envious of each other, and it went to extremes. In the end, no one benefited from it. It was very destructive. But here, Jesus emphasizes this all, that love your neighbor as yourself is the summary of all the laws. And can you imagine if all people in the world would know this and would live by this, that love does no harm to others? There is an oath that doctors usually have. And I don't know, Brother Franza, you're familiar with medicine and all that. Isn't there an oath you have to take when you start your practice? And the oath is, the first of that oath is, first do no harm, right? Yeah. First do no harm. The Bible tells us that love, in Romans 13, love is the fulfillment of the law, and love does not harm any person. And I love this prayer that this old man in the book, I think in Chronicles, says. Jabez was his name. In German, Jaebetz. In Spanish, I don't know. In Russian, I don't know. But Jabez. He prayed and he said, keep me from evil that I would not cause pain. Because his name was actually Pain. His mother had named him Pain because she had a very difficult time at his birth. Imagine that. Maybe he threw that in her face when he was a teenager and said, why did you name me Pain? Now I have to live with this image all my life. But I don't want it. When he came to the Lord, he said, Lord, help me that I would not cause pain to anyone. Love does no harm to another person. Now, some people may perceive it as harm, but that's not the case in real love. Let's look further at the warning against envy that destroys love. We read here, love is patient, love is kind. These are the forerunners. These are the elements that will prevent us from being envious, from coveting. Because if we are patient, we will do the neighbor no harm. If we are kind, there's no room for having jealousy or envy. Well, jealousy is maybe a step further, but we'll look at this. We need to live at peace in wisdom and always reject envy. To envy is to have an ill will toward another because of his or her good fortune. Envy leads to resentment and the desire to have that which is the possession of the one envied. So Paul's principle that defines love moves from the positive, patient and love, to love is not envious. Love doesn't mess with what others have. And now you probably remember, there are people out there that would love to make others jealous, right? Let's make others jealous. Let's do something. Let's pretend to be something that really makes others jealous. And some people have this joy trying to make others jealous. It's kind of like a game they play and really thrive on this. If they can make someone jealous, there's this, oh, yeah, it feels so good. You know, if we make somebody jealous, does that really feel good? Is that really a blessing to us? No. If someone is jealous of us, it's difficult, right? It's difficult to have a relationship with someone who's jealous. So jealous and envy need to be driven out by true love. Paul warns that love does not envy, and this means that envy often leads to violence. Think of the persecution that Paul executed against the Christians. In a way, he was envious at the Christians, at their faith, and he even admitted to it. He was so full of zeal and started to examine when Christ met him. He examined his zeal for the law, what he thought was right, and he found a lot of envy, a lot of things that were not right. He found pride, religious pride especially, that had nothing to do with love. Paul was a changed man when he wrote this. And we know that the Roman governor, Pilate, he saw behind the Pharisees and the scribes' demand to crucify Jesus one element. And this is written in Matthew chapter 27. As they demanded Jesus to be crucified, it says that Pilate knew it was out of envy that they handed Jesus over to be crucified. Love does not envy, because envy has no limitations. Envy will develop hatred, and hatred will develop rage, and rage will develop into action, murder, and violence. Envy is destructive. And if we even allow a little bit of envy in our hearts to grow, it will lead to shipwreck of faith. We will not make it. We need to watch and pray over this issue of envy. Never allow the enemy to make you jealous. Never allow the enemy to make you envy anything anybody has. Because you live before God. You and I, we have our individual lives to live. We don't live to please other people. We live to please God and be a blessing to others. In the letter to the Christian believers in Rome, Paul warned, and he said this in Romans 1, verse 28, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God. He talks about people that are godless. They did not think it was worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God. So God gave them over to a depraved mind so that they do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity, and they are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. Paul describes godless people here that have rejected or do not see necessary to seek the knowledge of God, who is a God of love. This is what it leads to. True Christianity is not envious. In the church history, has there been abuses? Many. And it's a shame to point out that people in the past who have been calling themselves believers or Christians have been violent, have been envious, because that's what religion does without Christ. But true love does not envy. Envy is very destructive in our society today. And the Bible says, Jesus pointed out, from within, out of a person's heart, come evil thoughts. That's where Satan gives us thoughts, out of our hearts. He knows that we're weak. He knows that we are like a magnet to sin, that our nature is of that caliber that he can tempt us, because we live in the area of the enemy where he reigns. And Jesus says, within a person's heart, evil thoughts come, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile a person. So envy is definitely on the list of these really, really bad qualities because of the lack of love. Don't we have so many people that fight for their rights, that are envious, and all they need is to ask God to fill their hearts with his love. Surrender the sin. Surrender the envy. You see, Jesus' crucifixion should teach us that envy has no place at the cross. You know, when you come with your envy and with your hatred, your resentment and malice and your greed and your sinfulness, when you come with all your uncleanness to the cross, your sins have to roll off because the power of the blood of Jesus takes it away. This is the ultimate picture of God's love for you and me. And I appeal to you this morning, allow God's love to penetrate your heart and your life. Take out every bit of resentment and envy and all these thoughts that bother you. Lay it to rest and allow the love of God being poured out by his Holy Spirit in your life and your heart to work. Things will change. Love does not boast, Paul says here. That means no show and tell for Christians. Look, world, how humble I am. Look, people, how much grace I have. No, no show and tell for Christians. That's what he wants to tell us here. Love does not boast. Well, there is an area where we can boast in, right? We should boast about the Lord. We should be really proud of him, but not of ourselves. We live in a culture of show and tell. Everybody wants to get recognition. And people do anything they can to even have one moment of fame. And these school shooters, a lot of them, or these terrorists, a lot of them, what they do is they want that one moment of fame. They want their picture be broadcast around the world, and then they're satisfied because it's all about show and tell. I am something, and I will do something to get the attention of the world. But you see, if you're filled with the love of God, you don't need any of that. You don't need to be made feel important because you know you are. You know that? That's the difference. We don't need to pretend anything. Love attracts without being noticed. And Jesus taught a big lesson. He always had this problem with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they wanted to show off their religion. They thought, we need to show people, show and tell. They stood at the corners and they prayed and made their prayers long, and here people would go by and say, oh, this is really a God-fearing person. Look at how they pray. Jesus said, they already have their reward. Their reward is that moment when people say, "Ah, that's it. That's their reward." But he said, your Father in heaven, if you live before him, you close the door. You don't need to have anybody see how you pray and how you humble yourself before God. You don't have to have anyone see it. No show and tell. You are before the Father. You kneel before the Father. And the Father who sees in secret, he will bless you and he will reward you openly. And people will say, well, how come God is blessing him like that? How come, you know, and yeah, maybe people are jealous, but that's not your fault. Because they were jealous of Jesus too. See, love gives generously. And I like this out of Matthew chapter 6, verse 1 through 4. Jesus says, be careful that you do not practice your righteousness in front of others, to be seen by them. If you do, this is what he said, that the Pharisees, they would have these rich people come up, and then they would have a trumpeter, and this trumpeter would blast the trumpet and would be really loud to get the attention of everybody. And then they would announce that Mr. So-and-so has given this and this amount of money to the poor. Jesus hated that. This is where he said, do not let the left hand know what the right hand is doing. Now, some people use this as an excuse not to give. They say, well, the left hand is not supposed to know what the right hand is not giving. I mean, that's really what they're saying. That's not what he said. Love is generous. And we need to give. But he hated it to be hypocrites about giving, hypocrites about practicing our faith. Do not boast about yourself, about your own faith. No, boast only in the Lord. And give him the glory always. Now, I don't mean to say that if you have done a really good job sometimes, like the young ladies did here, that when we tell them and say, you know, you sang so beautifully, and they say, no, to God be all the glory. No, accept it and say, thank you, I appreciate that. That's normal. That's not blowing your own horn, but you appreciate that you were a blessing. You appreciate that God could use you. And you just say thank you to those that were blessed. Sometimes we can overdo things too. Appear to be show and tell humble. And that's not good either. John says, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. And the Lord said in Jeremiah 9, verse 23, let not the wise boast of their wisdom, or the strong boast of their strengths, or the rich boast of their riches, but let the one who boasts about this, that they have the understanding to know me, and that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, righteousness on earth, for in these I delight, declares the Lord. You read it up in Jeremiah 9, verse 23. It's really good stuff there. To know and understand God, to know who we are as God's children, Nothing to boast about, because we didn't do it. He did. We didn't create ourselves. He did. We didn't save ourselves. We didn't give ourselves eternal life. He did. He completed everything on the cross. So all glory, all honor, and all boast to him. But yet, we are God's children. We are called to be kings and priests on this earth, to reign over sin, to say goodbye to envy, to say goodbye to false boasting, to say goodbye to selfishness, and to allow God in his love to just permeate our hearts and lives and our very influence in every relationship we have. Love is not proud, Paul says here. Now, we do need approval, and we do need a healthy self-esteem and self-image. That's true. To live a productive life, you and I need to have self-esteem. Self-esteem simply means that we're not always every day feeling that we are in the hole, that we are crushed, that we are nothing, and that we believe we are nothing. To God, we are something. We're his children. And we need to act upon that. But to have a healthy self-esteem. Yet the danger is that we value ourselves often too highly. And that can make us proud and arrogant. And I really am saddened when I notice or when I hear about even Christians who have become arrogant. There's no room for arrogance in God's church. There's no room for arrogance in God's family. Because that's destructive. Anyone thinking that they're better than others, it's wrong. It's out of a sinful nature. Because God has set the members of his church according to his will. And if he has saved you and he has saved me, we are equal. One is not above the others. No one has the right to boast and say, well, I'm better than so-and-so. No, we're not. We just want to be the best that we can be for Christ, right? And that's through his love. Boasting comes out of a prideful heart. And boasting is just a bad sign. This is why I like Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. In Matthew chapter 5, we read that Jesus gave us the Beatitudes. You know why they're called Beatitudes? Beatitudes. Meaning that our attitudes need to be adjusted to God's love, adjusted to his word, to his spirit, in such a way that we live with the right attitudes. And sometimes even we as believers can have wrong attitudes. I'm not just talking about moods. Sometimes we're in a bad mood and we can be, whatever when you're in a bad mood. Whatever you do when you're in a bad mood. That's not really what I mean here. What I mean is that God wants us to have loving attitudes on a consistent basis. Listen to this, what Jesus says. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. For they will be filled. You know what pride does? Pride is so against all of this. Pride says, oh, I have everything, like the church in Laodicea, right? They said, I have everything. I lack nothing. I'm all okay. There's smooth sailing all the way to heaven. I don't have to do anything. Eternal security. I just let my sails down and whatever, and I'm going to end up in heaven automatically. No, not like that. That's not the love that Paul is talking about. That's not the blessedness that Jesus is talking about. Boasting and pride can rob us of all these blessings that Jesus is mentioning here. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God or sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me, Jesus says that. And people like to use this because of their foolishness. When people resent him because of their foolishness, then they say, oh yeah, Jesus said, blessed are those who are persecuted. No, if we are persecuted for his name's sake, then we're blessed. Love does not demand its rights. You see, Jesus had many rights, and he gave up those rights. He had a right, and he even said it, he had a right to take and have the Father send him 12 legions of angels. Those are many, many angels, warriors. And they would have defeated the whole Roman Empire immediately. They could have done it with one strike. But he said, I'm not going to use that right. He did not invoke his rights when it came to suffering and to establish salvation for us. What an example of really true godly love. Jesus further taught us and says, you have heard that it was said, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, man, that's hard, turn the other cheek also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, give him your coat too. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go 2 miles. This is how he raised the bar of God's love. Can you imagine? This guy is really envious. He's really is a bully to you, and you're supposed to now go. He bullies you into going 1 mile, and you go, and now you think, okay, how can I repay? How can I fight my bully here? And actually, Jesus was referring to a soldier. See, the Roman soldiers had a right to demand of anyone they found to carry their backpacks for them for 1 mile. The law was up to 1 mile. So they had a right to do that. So when a soldier would come and force you to carry his load for 1 mile, and you would keep on going, and he would think, well, wait a minute, this is 1 mile, it's over. No, you say, no, I'm going to go another mile. You know how that second mile changes the enemy, changes the adversary's mind? And this guy, this soldier would say, well, I thought you were really resentful. I thought you really didn't want to carry this load in the first place. And now you're carrying this load the second mile. And the second mile is harder than the first one, by the way, right? Jesus gave an example here. He says love takes things just a little bit further. Gives a little more than what is demanded, right? That's love. And not proud, pride. I need to close, and I want to just ask you to reflect on this. Philippians 2, verse 5 through 9. Just let's reflect on this as we close this morning. Paul says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature was God, He did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every other name. God exalted him. Love allows God in his time to exalt us. Your moment of truly shining is coming. But wait for that moment in God's time when he exalts you, and then the brightness of God's love will just radiate from you, and it will be all to the glory of God. May God help all of us to live in this pure love. Amen.